Chapter 11. Talon.
I'm telling you, mate, the end of the world is the best thing that's ever happened to me.
How do you figure? Owen asks, raising a skeptical eyebrow. Talon levels a serious look at him, brushing past a group of off-duty soldiers.
Think about it. All the most beautiful ladies in the kingdom are gathered together in one place, thinking that any day might be their last day on Bahalia. It makes them want to seek comfort. Any kind of comfort. You understand?
Owen chuckles and shakes his head.
11 hells, Talon. Only you would think of that at a time like this.
He shrugs and gives his friend a mischievous grin.
There's no better time to think of it. Imagine, one moment a lass is worried about demons and the destruction of her city, the next she's being comforted by a big, strong ranger. It's foolproof.
Again, Owen glances at him skeptically. Has that ever worked?
Well, no, Talon admits, but I haven't really gotten around to trying yet. Been too busy waltzing around with you lot.
They round a corner and begin making their way toward the western gatehouse, a building of white stone and heavy iron. Archers patrol the high walls to either side, and stationed before the portcullis is a troop of knights, their armor gleaming, and their spears held at attention.
"Whatever happened to that nurse from Dunmar City?" Owen asks as they stride toward the city's exit. "What was her name? Sybil?"
Talon barely suppresses a grimace.
"Yeah, she and I sort of stopped talking before you and I left for the Heartlands. Not really sure why. I think I may have said something to offend her."
"That's hard to believe," Owen says, his voice dripping with sarcasm. Running a hand through his hair, Talon tries to play it off with an air of nonchalance.
"It's all water under the bridge now. She stayed with her people when we left. And there are plenty of other fish in the loch, so to speak."
The captain of the guard immediately recognizes them as they approach the gatehouse and waves them through, calling for his men to open the gate. There's a screeching wail of grinding metal, and they pass through to the other side, walking into the Heartlands, and the sea of waiting refugees.
"Speaking of lady folk," Talon continues, picking the conversation back up, "what's it like being with a mage?"
"What are you talking about?"
"You know, mages have spells, right? I bet that makes things interesting when you're getting amorous."
Owen's face darkens, but Talon blathers on, oblivious to his friend's discomfort.
"I've heard stories. Some mages like to use magic when they're, you know. Makes things more exciting, I guess. But you're probably also in danger of getting burned."
"Shut up!" Owen snaps, rounding on him.
"What?" Talon asks, frowning. "Zara more of a prude? You don't know what the hells you're talking about. She's not that kind of a girl, and that's not what this is about."
Owen takes a step forward, and for a second, Talon thinks he might punch him.
"Whoa, lighten up, mate," Talon says, raising his hand and stump in a placating way. "I was only joking."
Owen glares at him, fists clenched at his side.
"Don't talk about her like that, all right? I mean it. I'll break your nose, and this time I won't reset it for you."
He gives him one last hard look, then turns away, stomping off down the road toward the camps. Talon straightens his tunic and heads after him, biting his tongue to avoid further offending his friend.
"Yikes! Must be a touchy subject," he thinks, falling into step once more beside him.
They walk away from the city in brooding silence, the brooding mostly coming from Owen. After a while, they can see the area where the desert folk are camped, a little way off from the Nightingales.
"Who did you say these people are again?"
"Zara believes they're descendants from the lost kingdoms of Bahalia," Owen replies, sounding unsure. "Apparently, they're the ones who were left behind when the Ark of Radiance went up and have been enslaved by the R'hllar ever since."
"Burning hells,"
Talon mutters, feeling a twinge of pity for the Wastelanders.
1,000 years of slavery? That's got to do a number on morale.
Zara wanted me to check on them, he continues, stepping off the road and into the dead yellowed grass. She's developed something of a soft spot for them. Wants to make sure that they're doing all right.
Sure you haven't developed a soft spot yourself?
Owen grunts, but doesn't respond. Soon they spot oddly shaped brown tents poking up from the plains, a miniature city, sprawling and unguarded. The tents themselves are made from animal hides, and as they approach, Talon can see people with tan skin and wearing foreign clothing milling about. They flee from their presence, hiding as if afraid. After a few minutes, a group of teenagers, boys and girls, comes rushing out to greet them, handcrafted spears and clubs in their hands. They look ready to do battle, then relax when they recognize Owen. One of them, a long-haired boy of about 15, steps forward to greet him.
"Greetings, Owen," he says in a heavily accented voice. "It's good to see you."
"Hello, Yari," Owen replies with a smile. He clasps arms with him. "How are things in camp?"
"Things good,"
Yari says confidently, his thin chest puffing in pride.
"No harm, no demons, people cold, but safe."
"That's good," Owen answers with a curt nod. He turns and points at Talon.
"This is Talon Meacham. He's my friend. Talon, these are the warriors who helped us in the desert."
They all offer greetings in a strange tongue Talon doesn't recognize.
"They look like they should be in nursery school," he murmurs, regarding them skeptically. "They're not much younger than us, Tal," Owen replies. "And they're the only ones willing to fight. Everyone else is too beaten down, too many years as slaves. I've been training them, and they've already weathered a few good fights."
"Veterans, then," Talon remarks, half sarcastically. "All right, warriors. Care to show us around your camp?"
Yari nods and proceeds to lead them on a tour. The others fall into formation around them, everyone deferring to Owen as their leader.
"Light, Owen," Talon thinks, more than a little impressed. "Looks like you have yourself a nice little honor guard here. How do I get one of those?"
Aside from the youths, everyone else seems timid. The women clutch their children to their breasts, and the older men stand with slumped shoulders, eyes downcast. They're not starving by any means, but neither do they look well fed. The air in the camp is heavy with uncertainty, and everywhere Talon looks, it's as if he's watching a herd of sheep that might scatter at the first loud noise.
"Everything seems to be in order,"
Owen says, inspecting the food stores. He exchanges a few words with Yari, asking simple questions about the status of their food. Talon ignores them, instead turning to regard a group of young ladies holding spears nearby. He smiles and winks at them, hiding his missing hand in the folds of his cloak as he gives each of them a nod. The girls look at each other, dark eyes frowning. One of them smirks and says something. The other laughs, shaking her head. Unimpressed. He snorts.
"Fine, be that way. Your loss, ladies, your loss."
Owen and Yari continue to exchange words, the shaggy-haired fighter confiding in him about something. Several of the youths move to a nearby patch of grass and begin training, falling into fighting stances with their spears and moving with a grace that Talon finds surprising. They do indeed seem to be competent warriors, despite their age. Talon rubs his stump regretfully, watching them from afar. There was a time when he was like them, wide-eyed and full of energy. He had two hands and a desire to see everything the kingdom had to offer. Now he's nothing more than a cripple, a bitter apprentice who numbs the pain with drinks, tawdry company, and lewd, inappropriate jokes.
"I'm just as gloomy as Owen," he thinks with a heavy sigh. "Only I'm better at hiding it, that's all."
They finish their conversation, and Owen comes over to him, a clay bottle in his hand and a wicked grin on his face.
"Yari said they had some stashed away.
You of all people will appreciate this, Tal.
He pulls off the cap, sniffs, crinkles his nose, then hands the bottle to him.
Here.
What is it?
Talon asks, several of the youths eagerly gathering around them.
Kurza, Owen answers, as if the name itself should mean something.
He takes the bottle and peers inside.
And Kurza is...
liquor, I think.
Talon's face brightens considerably.
Why didn't you say so in the first place?
He brings the bottle to his nose. It stings his nostrils and fills his lungs with a pungent vapor that flushes his chest with heat.
11 hells, this stuff's strong, Talon says.
You ever have any?
He nods. Me and Zara both.
Well then,
Talon says, holding the bottle just in front of his mouth.
I'll not be shown up by a couple of lightweights. Bottoms up.
He drinks. A hearty, zealous gulp. As soon as the Kurza touches his tongue, it's like a fire has been ignited inside his mouth. It spreads quickly, rushing painfully into his gut, and before he can blink, he doubles over, coughing uncontrollably. Everyone around him erupts into raucous laughter.
Burning hells, Owen, he wheezes, eyes watering. What's in this? Poison?
Owen shrugs. No idea. Good stuff, though, right?
Good,
Talon asks incredulously, sucking in a ragged breath.
It's bloody magnificent. I've got to bring some of this to the boys in the Nightingale camp. They'll love it.
Owen shakes his head in amused disbelief. Talon unsteadily gets to his feet, noticing that the crowd around them has swelled. Men, women, and even some children watch him like he's some sort of sideshow animal, everyone smiling broadly.
At least they've warmed up to me, he thinks. All it took was a little self-abasement.
He looks to the long-haired youth.
Yari, is it? Find me some more of that Kurza. I'd like to take some to my friends. Show them what they've been missing out on.
He looks to Owen for approval, then scampers off, a wry smile splitting his face.
There's a good lad, he says,
taking another swig of the stuff. Like the first time, it burns like fire going down, but it isn't as bad the second time around. Putting the stopper back on the bottle, he turns to regard Owen.
Right obedient bunch of spearmen you've got here, mate. Should come in handy when all the fighting starts.
Owen opens his mouth to respond, but stops, something on the wind catching his attention. Talon hears it too, a sound like hunting horns blaring from the main road near the city gates. He recognizes it immediately.
Is that what I think it is?
Owen nods excitedly.
Yes, he replies, hand drifting to his hatchet. The rangers have arrived.